Good morning. Welcome to The Way of Wisdom with Regina Sanders. I am Regina Sanders, your host, and I am so honored that you have decided to be with me today. I want to jump right in. Today we're going to discuss four keys to recognizing the problem that you were created to solve. Did you realize that you were created to solve a problem for someone? Well, you were. Everything is created to solve a problem. Computers solve a problem for being able to retrieve information. If you're blessed to have one in your home and have internet access, then you have the whole world right there at your fingertips. It solves a problem for you. An ink pen solves a problem. You're able to communicate the old-fashioned way. Write a letter, write down notes, make a list. So I want to discuss with you four keys to recognizing the problem that you were created to solve. Number one, the problem that infuriates you the most is often the problem God has assigned you to solve. Anger is a passion. Anger is energy, requiring an appropriate focus. Anger is always a necessary ingredient for uncommon change. What angers you is a clue to an existing problem God intends for you to solve. It is a signal from God to correct something that grieves Him. People often say, oh, we're not supposed to be angry. God created us with that emotion. He just did. And it's how we use it. You don't allow anger to sit there and fester and become a root of bitterness, but you use it to promote life in the kingdom of God. Jesus was angry, and He said, be angry, but sin not. You know, when He come into the temple and into the synagogue and they had it set up like a marketplace, He overturned the money changers and He told them to honor His Father's house. It's about honor. Number two, what you love the most is a clue to the problem you are gifted to solve. Do you love computers? That's where your wisdom will be. Do you love children? You probably possess an innate and intuitive ability to communicate and aid children. What do you love? What you love is where your... That's just going to be a clue to the problem that you're to solve. I love people, and I've experienced such massive grief in my life, having lost two children. There's nothing like burying your child. And it's a hard thing. And so part of my passion is for parents who have lost children. But you see, grief doesn't just surround us when we lose a loved one. We're encompassed with grief when our pets pass away or get lost. We're encompassed with grief when we lose a job, when our favorite car dies and it seems like there's no money. We're encompassed with grief. So grief is one area that God's called me to. That's a problem I can solve. Because we can get stuck in grief. God has called me to help people walk through the journey of grief. Because King David said in the 23rd Psalm, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say he stopped. He didn't visit. He didn't linger. And he certainly didn't set up residency. But he walked through it. And when he got to the other side, His cup overflowed with joy. And that is my calling, is to help people move through the process of grief. Number three, what grieves your heart continually is a clue to a problem God wants you to solve. When you see television programs that make you weep for starving children, that is a clue that God is linking you to something. I recently listened to Lisa Brevere give an interview, and she has a wonderful book that's out, a wonderful study guide, Zionist Awakening. And it is through this vision that God gave her that part of her ministry was birthed. She recalls seeing and reading a magazine about the trafficking of young women, selling them into slavery, and trafficking, imprisoning them. And God placed it on her heart and opened the door, gave her a window of opportunity to be a part of rescuing these young women. He will put you there. What makes you weep? That's a sign, that's a clue to a problem you're to solve. Your dominant gift is often a clue to the problem you were created to solve. Are you gifted with numbers? Do you work with children, administration and organization, music? Your gift is the bridge to the problem you were created to solve. You were created to solve a specific problem on the earth. You can't solve everybody's problem. You're not called to everybody everywhere. But you are called to a specific geography, to a specific people, to solve their problem. In your job, you're there because your boss needs you. There's a problem that he needs you to solve. Do your best. Give your all. Solve that problem with everything you've got into it, with minimal supervision, and allow him to see it. You know, if he says, boy, I sure would like to have a glass of orange juice, but we don't have any in the building. Be the first one to say, I'll be right back. I'm going to get that orange juice with you, for you. Do you want pulp in it or you want non-pulp? Solve the problem, and he'll recognize you. Solve the problems that God has created you to solve, and he will recognize and honor you. He qualifies you for the position that he's put you in. Look at Joseph. Joseph had a dream as a child, and he told it to his father, and he was so happy. And he told it to his brother, and Joseph was so happy. But his father and brothers weren't happy. In fact, his brothers plotted to kill him. But one of them had mercy and had a little fear of the Lord there. And he said, oh no, we don't want his blood on our hands. We can't kill him. But we'll sell him. We'll sell him into slavery. Throw him in this pit until these Ishmaelites come by and we'll sell him. And that's what they did. They sold him. And the Ishmaelites then sold him to the Egyptians. And he landed in Potiphar's house where he was over everything. God's favor was upon him. He was waiting for his dream, but he was in preparation. Preparation don't always feel good, but that's where he was. He supervised Potiphar's whole household and had access to everything except Potiphar's wife. And when he refused her because he would not dishonor God and he would not dishonor Potiphar, then he was thrown in prison for choosing the right thing, making the right decision. But God's favor was upon him in that prison. And he was the supervisor over the prison. And he solved a problem for the baker and the cupbearer. He interpreted their dreams. And he asked them to remember him when they got out. And you know, they forgot him for a long time. But then the Pharaoh had a problem. He had a dream and nobody could tell him what it meant. He had a problem. And that's when they remembered, hey, you know what? When you threw me in jail, remember that way back when you threw me in jail? Well, I had this dream, and I didn't know what it meant. But there was one there, and he told me what it meant. You should go get him. He's still there. And what did Joseph do? Joseph prepared to go before the royalty. He bathed. He changed his garments. He shaved off his facial hair, because the Egyptians didn't like that. He prepared to go before the royalty. And he, with God's help, was able to tell Pharaoh what these dreams meant. And he became second in command under Pharaoh. And his father and his brother bowed before him as he gave them grain in the famine. And he prepared a place for them. His dream was finally fulfilled. It took 19 years. So you know, when you pray for something and it don't happen immediately, don't get discouraged. Don't think, well, God said no. Maybe he's not saying no. But wait Let me qualify you and prepare you to walk in what I've called you. That's what he did with Joseph for 19 years. 19 years. So keep your dream ever before you. That's what Joseph did. And he prepared each step of the way. And each step of the way in his preparation, he was solving problems for somebody, whether it was Potiphar, whether it was somebody in the prison, or whether it was Pharaoh or his own family. He was that problem solver. And you have that same design in you. That's right, you. You are the next Joseph. Who are you called to? What problem are you called to solve? If you're not sure, I encourage you, dig deep into God's Word, stay ever present before Holy Spirit, and ask, Lord, what problem is it that you want me to solve? And be a willing vessel, and tell Him, I'm here. If there is anything I can do, use me. He will. I thank you for being with me today. I want to close with prayer, and I want to encourage you to come back and be with me next week in the Way of Wisdom with Regina Sanders. Father God, I thank you for the message that you have brought forth today. I pray that it speaks life into everyone that listens to it. Father, I thank you for Brother Dave, who made this syndication possible. And I ask you to keep your hand upon him, anoint him, place your heavenly anointing upon him, to bless him, and let your favor rest upon him in everything that he does for the furtherance of your kingdom, God, for his heart, is to let the world know that you love them. That is his heart, and I thank you for him. I thank you for each one who took the time to listen to this syndication this morning. I pray that it spoke abundant life into them and that it was a guiding tool in helping them see what problem you've called for them to solve. And I just thank you, Father. I just thank you for your love, for your hand, which anoints us, which provides for us, which protects us and covers us. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you place us in the cleft of the rock, in the arms of Jesus, for our safety and our protection, and that you pour your mercy and your grace upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, I do, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a personal relationship with him, then I ask you, will you make that decision today? Romans 10:9 teaches us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we're saved. So will you pray this prayer with me today? Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for me, and you rose again on the third day. I confess that I am a sinner. I need your love and forgiveness. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. I receive your eternal life. Confirm your love by giving me peace, joy, and a supernatural love for others. Amen. Friend, if you prayed this prayer, you made this decision today, write into us. Let us know so that we can celebrate with you, because you are the prodigal son or daughter returning to the arms of your loving Father, and he is preparing a great celebration for you, a great feast. And I want to rejoice with you, and Brother Dave wants to rejoice with you. So let us know. Let us know. If you don't have a church, we'll do everything that we can to help you get in contact with the church so you can be connected with other believers. And I just thank God for you. God bless you all. Have a good day.